Go Strategic is pleased to present the Worldview Series. This lesson is entitled The Nature of God by Catherine Gallagher.
All right, in this section of the series, we're going to be looking at what I call the Big Three. These are the root presuppositions that pretty much define all reality. They are what you believe about the nature of God, the nature of man, and the nature of truth. These Big Three basically bring all big ideas, arguments, choices, decisions. You can trace all of them back to what you believe about these big three. In this section, we're going to be first discussing the nature of God. The purpose of today's lesson is to help you understand how what we believe about the nature of God will affect every aspect of our lives, including our disposition, our decision-making, our lifestyle, and our actions. Now, whether we consciously or unconsciously believe these things, they affect how we live. And that's one of the big ideas that we're trying to communicate in this series, that whether you're a Christian or not, whether you've been a Christian for a long time, a short time, often these big questions, we do not necessarily consciously think to ask them or look at what they actually mean for our everyday life. So one of our goals in this series is to help us start asking these questions so we can better live our lives for the Lord, so we can better interact with others, so that we can get closer to Him and grow in our spiritual formation. So that is our goal here. So we start here in today's lesson with the nature of God, because God is the primary. He is the first cause. He is the origin, right? So whether or not you believe in God even doesn't matter. Asking this question does. Because where we come from, how we got here, the overall big grand purpose of life is where we've got to start, right? So we look at the nature of God first. What do we believe about the nature of God? Because that affects every area of our life. Andrew Nierberg, who is a neuroscientist who wrote the book How God Changes Your Brain, says this: if you contemplate God long enough, something surprising literally happens in the brain. Neural functioning begins to change. Different circuits become activated, while others become deactivated. New dendrites are formed, new synaptic connections are made, and the brain becomes more sensitive to subtle realms of experience. Perceptions alter, beliefs begin to change, and if God has meaning to you, then God becomes neurologically real. This means literally, neurologically, physically in our brains, whether or not we believe in God will change our physical manifestation. So it's not just this ethereal spiritual idea of I believe in God, I don't believe in God. It actually comes literally physically into play. And as you see in that quote, it actually makes a difference of what we can see and how we perceive things. So as he said, and there's certain sections of your brain that become activated while others become deactivated. So there's something to say where sometimes people literally can't see or can't comprehend because that part of their brain at that time is not functioning. It's not been used. It's weak or it's strong or back and forth, right? So it's amazing to me how that literally does affect us on a physical level. Now, I was raised in a Christian home. I was blessed to come to know the Lord at a young age, but I recognize that that is obviously not the case for a lot of people. And the reality is what we grow up in often affects our perception of God, and our experiences affect our perception of God. So it's very important for us to look at that and to understand that, not just for ourselves, but for others. You can have a lot more empathy for someone when you understand where they're coming from and understand why maybe they've come to some of the conclusions they have about God and about life when we understand what they've been through and why maybe literally in their brain they see things a certain way. So our first question that we need to ask when we are looking at, okay, how do we deal with the God thing? Who is God? Does he exist? Does he not exist, right? That's our first question generally most people think of when we go, what about God? Does he exist or does he not exist? Good place to start, important to ask. But I would submit to you that the bigger question beyond whether or not God exists is what is he like? Because what he is like determines a huge factor in how we're going to relate to him. So some of the questions that we would ask, okay, again, if God doesn't exist, generally we think of someone being an atheist, right? An atheist doesn't believe God exists. We also would have someone who would be called an agnostic. An agnostic can't say whether or not God exists, right? He might exist, he doesn't exist. It's interesting when you actually trace out the beliefs of people that are agnostic. Most often, though, it means they end up living like an atheist. Because if you can't for sure be that God's there, you're basically going to live like an atheist. So you have agnostics, you have atheists who don't believe in God. You also have someone who's called a deist. A deist is someone who believes there's a God, but that he's not very involved. I would submit to you, there are quite a few Christians that are living like deists. They may believe God is there, but they haven't really invited him into every other part of their life. So that's one of the big questions too, is not just do you believe in God, but what kind of God do you believe in? Some of the questions you would ask again would be, is he involved or is he not involved? Can he be trusted? Can I trust God? Is he consistent? He's a consistent God, or is he inconsistent? Like, you know, the Greek gods or Thanos or whoever, right? Is he consistent or is he inconsistent? What is our relationship to him? Just believing in God, I would submit to you, is not necessarily enough, right? The devil believes in God. Satan knows God. The demons believe in God. The demons relate to God. So just saying, oh, I believe in God, doesn't necessarily change your reality that much, does it? The biggest change is going to be in who this God is and how you relate to him. How involved is he? What does that look like? So those are some of the big questions that we need to wrestle with when we are looking at what do I really believe about the nature of God. But of course, when we're evangelizing and talking with others, it's very helpful to start with, do you believe in God or not? Because with that origin, of course, if you don't believe there's a God, then how can you believe there's a purpose or a design? And it leads you down that path of questioning, which, as we talked about in the earlier sessions, is really important, asking the right questions. Not necessarily telling people what to think or believe, but asking the questions that will reveal where they're really at that they themselves may not even be aware of. So asking these questions about God are very important. We believe, of course, in the God of the Scripture who has revealed himself to man. And one of the things I love when I'm engaging with other people, when we're talking about God and whether or not he exists or what he's like, a common phrase that I go back to is the fact that God's existence is not contingent on our belief in him. God's existence is not contingent on our belief in him. And his attributes, his character, those are also not defined by what we believe. They are what they are. That's a powerful statement when we think about it, because it means even if we wrestle with things, even if we're questioning things, there is still this ultimate reality of who he is, which I think can give us a lot of comfort and also, of course, can be hard for us when we come up against it, when maybe it's not what we want, right? All right, so looking into the scriptures here again about how we understand this question of who is God and what is he like. We have, of course, the general revelation idea, which is found in Romans, most commonly referred to in the scripture in Romans, where we talk about from the creation of the world, the invisible things of him have been clearly seen, right? God has shown himself through creation and through the earth. And whether or not you believe in him, you can actually see him through that. So that's one of the ways that God reveals himself is in general revelation. Of course, creation, we can see so much of God's design in creation. But going back to our earlier statement about what do you believe about God, if you've already decided that there's not a God, of course, you're probably not going to see him in creation because you've already made certain underlying assumptions, presuppositions, that word again that you got in the earlier teachings. We already have presupposed that there is not a God. So if we're looking scientifically, of course, we're looking to prove that there is not a God. Thus, we have some of the theories around evolution and some of the other attributes of scientific theory that are really seeking to disprove God. But of course, maybe some of you know this already, there's been quite a few scientists who have come to know the Lord simply by really focusing in on the science and realizing there is so much design here, there's no way this was an accident, right? There's a quote by Albert Einstein that I love that talks about this. It says, "Could such a great symphony as the universe have no conductor?" So we see again in creation and in the design, intelligent design throughout creation, we see the Lord, we see God. Another way that we see the existence of God is in our innate conscience. All of us have a conscience. Now, of course, over time, it may change, it may get seared, but it's very interesting that from the beginning, we all have that little sense in us. And again, that is something that points to the existence of God. Of course, we have the scripture. As Christians, we believe in the scripture, and the scripture reveals to us who God is. It shows us what he is like. It helps us see the nature of God. So scripture is a huge, obviously very vital part, especially for us as Christians, for understanding what God is like and who he is. We also see God moving in history. It's very interesting. Again, when you look historically, you can see patterns over and over again within mankind and how things have gone historically. You'll see, of course, historically that we are not really evolving. Some would argue that we're devolving in some ways. But when you look at history, you see patterns. You see the hand of God throughout history, throughout major historic events, through the cycles of time. So history, again, and we don't have time to get into this, but there are some wonderful books, of course, that can show the hand of God throughout history and amazing stories that show beyond doubt the existence of God and his hand in moving history. Other ways that, of course, we can see God and his nature and his existence can be, of course, in the prophetic community, through prophecies and such in the church. We can see him in the body of Christ as a whole. And of course, the very fun ones, I'd say, in signs, wonders, and miracles. Nowadays, we don't seem to see those as much, at least here in the United States. Many of us don't feel like we see them. But actually, if you go to many parts of the world, there are a lot of miracles still happening all the time. So those are ways that some of the general revelation, general ways that we can see a bit of who God is. We want to go into some more specifics of what God is like. Now, why does this matter? Again, it is not just because we're trying to make everyone here have a theological degree or that it's just we should ask these questions so we can be smarter and have more knowledge. The purpose of all of this is to help us grow in our relationship with God and grow in our witness to others. And many of these questions I would submit to you, a lot of times I think we just don't think of them. We may think, well, I love the Lord, I love God, he's there, and I pray to him about this, this, and this, but then there's this whole other part of my life. And God wants us to have a holistic approach in how we relate to him. He wants everything. Scripture says he's a jealous God, right? He wants everything. He doesn't just want our Sunday mornings. He wants Sunday through Sunday. He wants it all. And isn't that ultimately what we want? Because we know that life apart from him is not full life. We want to be able to be connected to him and living the way he's designed us to live. So what is our God like? Our God of the Bible, who we believe is the ultimate being expressed through Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. Now, this is a tough one for many of us. There's a lot of other teachings about this, the sovereignty of God, but it is something that we need to understand. God is sovereign. There's a scripture in Numbers that talks about it that says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? He is sovereign. He is involved. He does what he says he's going to do, and he is trustworthy. God is purposeful. We see that God has a purpose for us. We see in 2 Timothy how he has saved us and called us to a holy life. There are numerous scriptures that talk about the importance of our destiny because of who God has called us to be. He cares about our personal life. It is not just getting us saved and having us go to heaven, but he actually wants us on a daily basis to live differently, to live for him. And the scripture is full of examples of this. We were all created with design for a specific purpose. Now, that whole idea right there, if we think in terms of evangelism, is huge. We know there are so many people struggling with their purpose, with their identity, because they do not have a connection to God. Or even if they do, if they view him as aloof and they're not really connected to him, they're missing that piece of divine acceptance and divine motivation, divine purpose. And we see that is so crucial for us, especially in this day and age when we see so many struggling in that area. And we see this again, how God has used human beings throughout history to accomplish his will, to move history forward. Nothing can keep us from what God has designed us for. Again, we go back to God being sovereign. Nothing can get in the way of that other than maybe we can delay it, can't we? Sometimes if we can get in the way of God, but ultimately he's going to fulfill his purpose through us and through the earth. The exciting thing is it is possible to know God's purpose for us. As we see in Hebrews, we know that God actually directly can speak to us, speaks to us through the prophets, speaks to us through the word, through the scripture, through others. We can actually know God's will for our lives. Isn't that exciting? Think about that. That's crazy, really. I think the God of the universe actually cares what I do with my life and can actually and will direct me if I seek him. That's amazing when we think about that. He really cares and it's there and we just have to seek him to find it. God desires genuine relationship with us. That again is mind-blowing when you think about it. God wants to know us and wants us to fully know him. It's incredible. He cares for us so specifically and so personally. You think about it, of course, that even the number of the hairs on our head are numbered. Now, when you think about how specific that is, it's interesting that we still struggle sometimes as Christians to give God every part of our life. A God who cares so much that he knows the number of hairs on our head, don't you think then he probably would care where you go to college, who you marry, what job you get? You know, we some of these things we think, oh, God doesn't care about that, or we don't submit it to him. We just kind of make the decision. But if we recognize this is a God who's intimately involved enough to know the number of hairs on our head, maybe we should be giving him a little bit more access to these other parts of our life that we tend to just think, I've got this, I'm running with it. But again, this goes back to that idea. If we start asking these questions of ourselves and of others and in discussions to realize how involved is God? How involved do I allow him to be in my life? What does that look like? It will really be life-altering when you start thinking this way because you realize he really does care. And when you start aligning your ways with him, you're going to find a whole other level of ease and confirmation of how you are living your life when you are submitting it all to him. Looking at practical questions of God, again, a lot of these are just ideas that we are introducing to help us think this way, not just for ourselves, but also for others. And also when we're evaluating culture, I know for many of us, it's a challenge where we're filming here today. We're in the United States. We are in a very particular culture. Right? We have movies, we have TV, we have music, we have social media. And of course, those are all global. Those are feeding us all the time with a perspective of who God is, how things are. And again, we get inundated with that. And no matter how much you love the Lord, if you're swimming in that all the time, there is no way that we are not being influenced by it. So it's very important for us to understand these root questions, these root presuppositions, these underlying ideas. So when we are taking things in, we are discerning, okay, what is that? What's behind that? You know, I've had this happen before. You know, I watch a movie or I read a book and there's parts of it that are wonderful. I'm like, oh, that's great. But then something just doesn't sit right. You ever had that happen before? You're like, something just isn't right here. And I realized when I started thinking through, started asking some of these questions, okay, what is this saying about who God is? Or what is this saying? We'll get into this further about the nature of man or nature of truth. You start discerning and asking those questions when you're taking things in. And it is very helpful for filtering what is ultimately the truth and what is not, and what we should be taking from things and what we should be leaving behind. So it's very important to ask these questions and to help us, especially in this day and age. We talked about some of these questions earlier, but to reiterate them, is God personal or abstract? Is he involved or uninvolved? So am I living like a deist, or am I living like a Bible Christian that understands that God wants to be involved in everything? If God is a creator and he's created us, what does that mean to man? We're going to talk more about that in the next session. And again, who is this God? How is he related to me? Is this a God that is mean and just wants to come down on us? Or is this a very relaxed God who just wants me to be happy? Have I decided and defined God in a certain way to fit what I'm hoping he will do or not do, say or not say about how I want to live? So we have to ask ourselves these questions of how we have defined God. We should also be asking, how do I feel about God? How am I choosing to relate to him? So not always just what does God think about me, but what do I think about God? How am I choosing to relate to him? What am I giving him of my life? What am I not giving him of my life? Have I defined him in a particular way to make it work for me? God's ultimate goal, as we see in the scripture, is for communion with him. He wants us to commune with him, his ways to be our ways, his thoughts to be our thoughts. That's our ultimate goal. But we have to ask ourselves these questions if we want to get there. I want to close with a little example here of a way, again, of how we perceive who God is to affect some issues in our life, or how we perceive God to be and how it affects decisions that we make. When I was going to go to college, I was very excited at a particular school in mind. That is where I wanted to go. And again, I had decided it. And as we think about earlier from the earlier session, when Adam was speaking, talking about when we look at presuppositions, how they filter information for us, right? So if we've already decided a certain thing, then we're going to filter every information that comes in to fit what we want it to fit, because we already decided that we wanted this. So Adam gave the example of the PowerPoint presentation that his children gave to convince them to get a puppy. Now, of course, in their PowerPoint presentation, they only included all the upsides of having a puppy, right? They're not going to include in the PowerPoint presentation that it's going to keep you up late at night, that it's going to eat your shoes. You know, they're not going to list those things, right? So for me, I already had in my head this college that I wanted to go to, and I had all the good reasons, of course, for why I should go to that school. I didn't factor in any of the negative reasons or possible hiccups that would happen if I went to that school. So I was very set that I wanted to go to this school. My very wise mother said, I know you want to go there, but there's this college fair. Let me just take you to this college fair just in case. And I was pretty resolute. I did not want to go because I already knew where I was going to go to school. Why do I need to waste my time and go to this college fair, right? But I was an obedient daughter and went with my mom to this college fair. Went there, didn't see anything much. Now, again, I have always tried to be connected to the Lord, but obviously, as you can see, even from how I'm sharing this story, I was not fully submitted to the Lord in my attitude about what college I was going to go to. It was pretty much, this is where I'm going. By God's grace, when we went to this college fair, I happened to walk past this one table with a school I'd never heard of. And one of the few times I very clearly heard the Lord say to me, go back to that table. And I'm like, why do I go back to that table? You know, I really heard him say, go back to that table. So I went back to the table, and there was this university called Azusa Pacific University. I'd never heard of it. Started talking to the people and knew through that conversation pretty much then and there, the Lord said, this is it. This is where you're supposed to go. So it was pretty impactful to me because I'd already decided, and on paper, it made sense for me to go to this other school. It was all ready, it was good, and it was lined up. And I easily could have argued and that was the right place and just gone. But instead, by God's grace, being open to the fact that I know that God, I believe that God is connected. As my brother says, I love this. He says, God is near, now, and noticeable. That's the God that I relate to, one who is near, now, and noticeable. And by his grace, me going to that college fair, I went to the right school. I went to where I was supposed to go because I was open to hearing him. And initially, even though I wasn't open to hearing him, thankfully, I was submitted to my mom who said, hey, we need to go check this out. How many of you guys know God will speak to us through other people? We need to have our ears open for God speaking to us through other people. It is not always just direct. I think sometimes we want to just be like, it's me and Jesus, and I don't need anybody else. God does speak to us directly, but he also speaks to us through other people. So in that story, it just reminds me of the importance of us, how we relate to him. If I had had the idea that college is my thing, and as long as I'm not sleeping around and getting drunk every night, God doesn't care what school I go to. No, I think God actually really does care what school I go to. And that was clearly seen in the story that I just demonstrated, and also in my experience there, There were things that happened at the university that were amazing for me, that connected me to particular people, to particular jobs. It was clearly where God had for me to go. And so God cares. God cares, but we've got to be open to Him. And that means submitting every area of our life. And it means asking ourselves these hard questions of, just because I believe in God, what kind of God do I believe in? Who is He and how do I relate to Him? And again, these questions will also come up when we are talking with others. And it's wonderfully helpful for us to be able to learn how to ask these right questions, as we talked about in earlier sessions, to get to the heart of the matter, to understand where people are at. There are often other bigger issues that we would never connect. Oh, that's really about what they think about God. But when you start thinking this way, you can start discerning, oh, their attitude about that merger of that company actually connects back to what they believe about God. It's amazing when you start learning to think this way and being able to discern and ask these questions, how we can determine the root causes behind things that may look quite different. I find it exciting. So, in summary ideas from this lesson for us to remember: our questions and beliefs should start with, not end with, God, because He is our first cause. He is behind everything. All of life's big questions lead back to Him. Another quote said another way around this, for why it's so important to understand and ask these questions about God, comes from Daryl Miller. All our secondary relationships are informed by our primary relationship with our Creator. That is why we must start with, what do we believe about God and how do we relate to Him?
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.